Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman joins. This is the fundraising moment for the holiday season at the end of the year for Behind the Black. Your donations, subscriptions are especially welcome. Bob, at this holiday time, is in a generous spirit. He's got signed autographed copies of Genesis 8. Paperback is for $200. And the hardback for $250. This is the story of the success of 1968 thanks to one very daring Apollo mission, Apollo 8, first time man had ever left the orbit of the Earth and traveled to another planet, the Moon. The striking thing you will learn in Bob's recitation of these events, and he interviewed many of the principals, is that NASA itself, in a moon race with Russia after a terrible year of war and threat and riot and ruin and doubt, NASA itself said 50-50 chance of succeeding. The astronauts knew it, and they took off. Now we come to 2024 and Bob's story of NASA and risk. Bob, a very good evening to you. 50-50 in 1968. We now have a new mission, manned mission by NASA. Some aspect of the moon is involved. What is it, and what is the risk to your measure? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What we have is a situation at NASA which is very similar to the situation at NASA shortly when the Challenger and Columbia accidents happened. NASA, for political reasons, is preparing to fly astronauts around the moon in a very, very risky manner, without doing proper due diligence beforehand, and is doing so for political reasons, for budget reasons, for lobbying reasons, and not for engineering reasons. And this is the same thing that happened when Columbia and Challenger were destroyed, because NASA didn't do the due diligence engineering-wise because it was playing politics. And so what we have is the Artemis program to get Americans back to the moon, and that Artemis program has been founded with its core pieces of equipment, NASA-owned and built SLS rocket, and its owned and built Orion capsule. And so any mission that goes on Artemis has got to use both of those, no matter how idiotic it might be. They're very expensive, they're over budget, they're decade-plus behind schedule, and they have all the technical problems. And this is where we're getting into the issue of NASA gambling on people's lives. First, let's start with SLS. SLS has only flown once. Only once. And its upper stage that it's going to use on this manned mission, supposedly scheduled for September of 25, the upper stage has never been used. So it's the first time they're going to use the upper stage on that first mission to the moon with people on board. In addition, the SLS rocket uses side boosters, solid fuel side boosters, similar to the shuttle. In fact, some of these they're basically repurposed from shuttle period. They took those solid rocket boosters the shuttle used. They reused them in the shuttle program. Well, they took them now, and they're going to set them up and stack them and use them on the various SLS launches once, and then they throw them away. They're gone. But when you stack vertically solid rocket boosters, the segments, one on top of another, the fuel is now in a vertical position with gravity pulling down on it. And NASA's always had a rule that says once you stacked it, you should launch it within a year, because longer than that, gravity might warp that fuel, and so it might not burn correctly when you light it. And so you don't want to have it standing stacked for more than a year. On the unmanned Artemis launch that has taken place before, sent Orion capsule around the moon, they broke that rule. They stacked the segments, and then they had other delays which caused them to force a waiver on their rules, so that the launch actually occurred almost 2 years after those solid rocket boosters were stacked. And fortunately, nothing went wrong, but that was an unmanned mission. NASA is now stacking those solid rocket boosters for September launch. I don't believe they're going to launch in September. I think they'll easily go into 26 and beyond. So once again, they're taking a risk with the solid rocket boosters, but this time they'll do it with people on board. And then we have the Orion capsule. That Orion capsule has it's not reusable, so the first Orion capsule flew around the moon on that first unmanned Artemis mission. When it landed, came back to Earth, its heat shield experienced really terrible damage, much more damage than was expected. It worked, the heat shield. If people had been on board, they would have been fine. But the damage was really atrocious. Large chunks broke off, much more than was expected. NASA has said it knows what the root cause is of that that heat shield failure. But they haven't told us what the solution is or if they've instituted the solution. All right, once again, this would work had this worked on an unmanned mission, but putting people on board with a heat shield with this kind of questionable engineering is not really very smart. You should fix it. Or you should tell us how you're going to fix it. Finally, the Orion capsule that went around the moon unmanned did not have its environmental system on board, which meant no one could have been on that ship because there was no oxygen, no breathing material. The first mission that it's going to have that environmental system is the manned mission. So let's review. NASA's going to send four astronauts around the moon and back to Earth next year, less than a year from now, on a rocket that's up a stage that's never been used before, on a rocket that solid fuel boosters might very well be beyond their use-by date, with a capsule that has a heat shield very questionable, and an environmental system that has never been tested before. If SpaceX attempted to do a launch with these kind of issues, you think NASA would object? Sure, it sure will. It would say, no, 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 you can't do that. That's not safe. But NASA's willing to go ahead because it's desperately trying to save its SLS Orion capsule and rocket. Because the truth is that the whole Artemis program to create a base on the moon and explore the solar system does not need SLS Orion, really. It would require a delay to reconfigure things, but private sector provides something much better, and NASA politically doesn't want to lose the money from SLS, and so that's why they're pushing this mission. And it's basically the same thing they did with Challenger and Columbia. They're risking people's lives on a program that shouldn't follow through as they're doing it.
We go to the coast of Kenya. An agreement between Kenya and Italy for the San Marco offshore platform. What is this, Bob, and what is the advantage?
All right. In the early 60s, everyone worldwide was trying to put up their own rockets. So Italy had its own program, and it had its own small rockets, and it put together a offshore launch platform off the coast of Kenya in Africa for launching its rockets. And it did complete 8 orbital launches from this platform through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It shut that platform down in 88 because at that time the entire European Space Agency, everyone partnered with it, was consolidating their launch facilities and rocket program with Ariane Space, the government arm, commercial arm of the European Space Agency. So other things were shut down. Well, what's happened now is that the Ariane Space is going away, and Europe is going under the capitalism model, where every nation has competing private companies trying to launch rockets, and Italy has its own private company, Avio, that has the Vega rocket. It used to be controlled by Ariane Space, but now Avio controls it. Italy has now decided to reopen its San Marco offshore platform for launches, and this will probably be a perfect place to launch the Vega rocket. By doing so, Italy and Avio would bypass French Guiana, which is owned and controlled by France, no longer Ariane Space. And so this is an attempt by them to get their own launch facility for their own companies out of Italy, and I think it's just competition bringing out a lot of new things, John.
You mentioned it's near the equator. Is that a good place for launching?
Equator is an excellent place for launches if you're doing a launch or a satellite along the equator, close to that's going to orbit the Earth at an equator inclination. If you're doing an orbital launch where it's going over the poles, it doesn't really matter that much, which means it's a very good site because it's off the coast of Africa, so it can fly without dropping stages on anyone's heads, and it has the option to go almost anywhere in orbit if you want to. So, yes, it's a very good location.
To the Progress freighter resupplying ISS and a mystery. What's happened, Bob?
Yes, when the newest Progress freighter docked with ISS over the weekend, the Russian astronauts opened the hatch, and they immediately closed the hatch because there was a toxic smell, their words, that suddenly came out of the hatch. So they spent a day or two doing atmospheric scrubbing both in the ISS as well as within the docking port. And then they were able to open the hatch, and they're proceeding now normally unloading the Progress freighter. Where did the smell come from? The U.S. seems to think, NASA seems to think it came from within the Progress cargo freighter. Maybe some food that had been loaded up there before launch rotted and made a smell. They haven't told us what that type of smell smelled like. Russia instead says it came from the port itself that the docking occurred, that when they opened the hatch, the smell was coming out of that port that had been left there by the previous Progress freighter. I have no idea. No one else does. They haven't told us any real facts, which is unfortunate. There's no reason to keep the secret, but they're government agencies, and they'd like to keep things secret.
Progress freighter docks with ISS at Zvezda. Is that an issue here, Bob?
It was always an issue because the Zvezda module has stress fractures and could collapse catastrophically. NASA now has a policy of closing the hatch between the Russian and American halves whenever a docking takes place, just in case that should happen. So, yes, that's an issue too, John.
New Glenn, we've waited and waited and waited. Where is it, Bob?
That's a good question. Over the weekend, for the very first time, a two-stage New Glenn rocket was rolled out to the launch pad at Cape Canaveral and uprighted vertically. Very first time this rocket's been in that position on the launch pad. They then put it down horizontal again shortly thereafter. They have now made it vertical again. They're basically doing tests. This rocket is hopefully going to launch sometime in the next month or so. It would be the very first launch of the New Glenn rocket. It's only 5 years behind schedule. But nonetheless, it's a big rocket. Its first stage is intended to be reusable, land on a barge in the Atlantic. And so I really wish this happens really soon, John. It does look like we're getting close.
And the Vulcan launch. What is Vulcan, Bob?
Vulcan is another new rocket that's built by the company ULA. It has completed two successful launches this year, and those launches were necessary for the Pentagon to certify it for commercial operational launches of Pentagon payloads. And it had two launches scheduled that they were hoping to do in 24 before the end of the year. The trouble was the second of those two certification launches, during the launch, one of the side boosters on the Vulcan rocket, the nozzle fell off during the launch. That doesn't sound minor, does it? Fortunately, the rocket was able to maintain control, and it got its payload into the correct orbit. But a nozzle falling off a rocket is not something to be taken lightly, and the military has not yet certified Vulcan for launches. And because of that, they want the investigation to be completed and a fix absolutely installed before they will certify. But because of that, those two launches that were supposed to happen this year have now slipped to 25. And that's a big deal for ULA because they need the operational launches to make some money on this rocket.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's time for the annual fundraising at the holiday time. Your generosity is most appreciated. When we come back, we're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.